Is there a harmony to all that happens in our universe? Could we be part of a cosmic symphony? In this episode, we discover why the laws of physics are potentially the same as the laws of harmony, and how the strings of the cosmic orchestra are plucked to create our universe. Let's dive into our multidimensionality, string theory, and some mystery school teachings on how to harness vibration. The great Albert Einstein, who always wanted to know the thoughts of God, was convinced that quantum mechanics was not the final answer or real thing. He said quantum mechanics says a lot, but it does not bring us any closer to the secrets of the old one. Einstein spent the last 30 years of his life searching for a theory of everything, a single theory that unifies all the forces into one. It would be a formulation that describes the universe before all the shatterings and symmetry breakings that occurred in the first seconds of the Big Bang. Finding such a theory would not only explain some of the mysteries of our universe, it would give us insight into the nature of the multiverse. While Einstein was not successful at accomplishing this in his lifetime, his legacy has lived on to inspire many generations. Today, physicists are still searching for this theory of everything. Many ideas have been proposed, none have yet been verified beyond the standard model. But there is a leading candidate called M-theory that unified several string theories together into a sophisticated and elegant framework. What's unique about this model? Well, for starters, it goes deeper than quarks and says that the truly fundamental components of our reality are harmonically vibrating, supersymmetric strings and membranes. Now, what's meant by strings and membranes here? A common analogy is to imagine a guitar string or the membrane of a drum. When we pluck the string or strike the drum, we cause it to vibrate at certain frequency or note, producing a sound. Recall from other episodes that cymatics has shown us how the vibrational energy of sound can also shape matter. In a similar way, string theory and M theory say there are vibrating filaments of energy that are the cause of all particles, forces, and even the dark matter in our universe and the dark energy. These different particles and forces are thought of as different notes or frequencies of vibration playing on the quantum string or membrane. This idea ties in with the concept that everything is energy, as well as the hermetic principle of vibration that says everything vibrates. This principle explains that the differences between different manifestations of matter, energy, mind, and even spirit result largely from varying rates of vibration. So what is this energy of vibration? What is its essence? Well, M-theory says it's the strings and membranes, but what actually is vibrating? What are these things made of? String theorists propose that it's the fabric of space itself that is folded or curled up in a certain geometric pattern at every point. Why don't we see this folding up of space, though? Well, there's two reasons given. First, it's happening through seven extra dimensions beyond our usual perception of three-dimensional space. And second, these extra dimensions are only found at the smallest microcosmic scale, smaller than quarks and electrons, at 10 to the minus 32 centimeters across, which is very tiny. These quanta of space are far too small for even our most powerful detectors and particle accelerators to access directly. And even though these extra dimensions are hidden, they still have an impact on things we can observe. This is because the shape of the extra dimensions constrains how the strings can vibrate. Now, just to recap, what we're exploring here is the possibility that space-time is curled up into some multidimensional geometry. As this vibrates at different frequencies, it produces all the energy, particles, forces, and various other parameters that make up our universe and make it what it is. These different particles and forces are then responsible for all the splendor and diversity we see in the world around us. Now, on that note, recall from other episodes that our universe just so happens to be finely tuned for life and consciousness to evolve in it. There are over 20 fundamental constants in our universe that are all necessary for the development of life. Change any one of those values, and the universe we know would not exist. How is it that our universe is so finely tuned? Well, string theorists propose that what determines this fine tuning and all the unique characteristics it brings to our universe is the particular geometry of the extra higher dimensions that govern the formation of these strings and membranes. Here again, we see physicists talking about things that metaphysicists have said for ages, namely that our universe is built upon sacred geometry. Although in this case, the geometry is only found at the quantum scale in 11-dimensional hyperspace. Why is that? Mathematics of string theory only works in a universe of 10 dimensions of space and one dimension of time, giving a total of 11 dimensions. This breaks down into some significant numerology of 1, 3, 7, and 11. One dimension of time plus 3 dimensions of regular space and 7 extra dimensions of hyperspace that curls up on itself, bringing us to a total of 11 dimensions. Now, numerologists like to add numbers together. So when we add 1 plus 3 plus 7 plus 11, we get 22, which also reduces to 4. And what's interesting about these numbers is that they are all highly significant in a Kabbalistic framework. The 1 represents the spark that initiates creation and sits at the apex of the tree. 3 represents the top triad of the realm of spirit. 7 represents all the rest of the tree below the abyss, as well as the number of vertical levels there are on the tree. And 11 is the hidden numerology that the tree reveals to us, represented by the hidden sephira called Da'at, which means knowledge. 22 is then equal to the number of connecting pathways on the tree, which also correspond to the number of letters in the Hebrew alphabet. And 4 shows up in many ways on the tree, but most prominently we talk about the 4 worlds of creation. I find it fascinating that the mathematics of string theory reveals the same significant numbers as Kabbalah. Most of us are accustomed to thinking of space-time as continuous, but to find a unified theory, we need a way to account for quantum gravity. According to Einstein's general relativity, gravity is the bending of space-time. This indicates that one possibility for getting a quantum gravity is to quantize space-time itself. Now, what does that mean? Recall that when something is quantized, it means it is discrete instead of continuous. It has gaps, and within that gap is the quantum vacuum. So rather than thinking of space-time as a continuous sheet, think of it more as a finely woven fractal grid. And as we go down to the quantum scale, we can imagine that there are gaps between the junctions of the grid. And at the junctions are the points where space is curled up into multidimensional geometric shapes that vibrate. These quanta of space have a complex interwoven geometry. What geometry is it? That's the big question that scientists don't know yet. But one example often given is called the Calabi-Yau manifold, shown here. We can imagine that all around us is this grid of quantum geometric shapes, and we can move through them. These extra dimensions are right in front of us and around us all the time. But we aren't aware of them because they don't register with our 5 physical senses and perceptions. How often are we moving through energies and dimensions that we aren't even aware of? Honestly, whether we're looking at it from a scientific perspective, a psychological, or spiritual perspective, it's all the time. This is a good reminder for us that just because we don't see or feel something doesn't mean it's not there. Can we become more aware of these things? Yes, we can. It requires training our mind to access higher consciousness, as well as the proper knowledge of how to shift our vibration. This brings us back to the Hermetic principle of vibration and how the mystery schools trained initiates to master and apply this principle at physical, mental, and spiritual levels. In music, different instruments are capable of making different types of sound and at different frequency ranges. The vibrations capable of being produced depend on the shape of the instrument. For example, an electric guitar makes different sounds than a bass guitar or a violin. Then, for any particular instrument, the person playing it can also interact with it to create different sounds, harmonies, and music. Each instrument has its limitations depending on the allowed vibrations or notes it is designed to play. In a similar way, we can imagine these geometrically enfolded bits of multidimensional space are a type of instrument, which type depends on the underlying geometry. String theorists say that our universe would have just one type of geometry at every point in space. So only one kind of instrument plays the symphony of our universe, but that instrument or geometry can play a variety of vibrations and notes, each one producing a different particle, force, energy, or fundamental constant that governs our universe. Each point in space could be playing a different note, so we can imagine a cosmic orchestra all using the same instrument. Yet this instrument is quite diverse and beautiful in the vibrations it is capable of producing. So in this case, the orchestra is not really limited by having only one type of instrument. Plus, the instruments are finely tuned in our universe to create life and consciousness. Now, who are the players of these instruments? Quantum physics has verified that physical particles or waves only exist upon observation. When we observe things, it changes things, depending on how we choose to observe or the assumptions we make. Once we have made an observation, that thing we observe then becomes entangled with us. So it continues to exist because we observed it, because we have knowledge or information about it in our memory. The physical particles themselves, while they are sentient, meaning they can sense and interact with things in their environment, they are not self-thinking. They are not equipped with their own mind and will. Another way of putting that is that they cannot observe themselves into being. Could it be then that we, as conscious observers who have mind, will, and volition, are the ones who determine and also change physical reality? If so, does that mean that we are the players of these instruments? Ancient mystery teachings say yes, our thoughts create our reality. Our thoughts are directed by mind, and mind is directed by will. But the question is, which will? Is it the ego's will coming from selfishness? Or is it the collective will, as in being swayed by programming or herd mentality? Is it the will of nature and the universe, meaning we are aligned with the universal laws and flow of nature, but also then bound by them? Or is it the will of our eternal divine self, spirit's will, God's will, which is infinite and has no limits? Becoming aligned and in the flow with that highest divine will is what we must become attuned to. So consider it like the master tuner, that each player in the orchestra needs to tune their instrument to in order to be in harmony with the whole. If we are players in a cosmic symphony, wouldn't it be nicer if we could become well-trained musicians who know how to tune and then use these instruments properly? As of now, most people don't know how to use their instruments well or even at all. So the symphony we are producing, at least here on Earth, is chaotic and dissonant. And since we are connected with the entire universe, our chaos is sending ripples across the cosmos. The things we think, do and say send ripples through the Milky Way and beyond. So again, how can we become more masterful at playing the strings of creation? Obviously, we don't become virtuosos by doing nothing to improve our abilities. Ask any maestro and they will all say the same thing. We only master the art through proper training, lots of daily practice, and then having bigger and bigger opportunities to perform with the best. This is exactly what the ancient mystery schools were all about. Let's return to the Hermetic principle of vibration. Hermeticists have been revealing these phenomena long before modern science and string theories were even around. For thousands of years, initiates of the Hermetic lineage have taught that everything is of one essence, just manifesting at different degrees or modes of vibration. And by everything, it means all of it. From the densest of matter to things like sound, light, the forces of nature, down to the subatomic particles, which are vibrating at very high rates, and then moving even beyond that into mind and all its varying expressions through our thoughts, emotions, and desires, and all the way up to the highest realms of pure spirit. It is all the same essence, just vibrating at different frequencies. If this is true, could we adjust the frequency? Like turning the dial on the radio to transform and transmute from one mode or manifestation of that essence into another? Yes, and this is the core of true alchemy. It is the art and science of transformation and transmutation. Through the process of extracting the essence and then shifting its vibration, primarily with the aim of raising vibration. Even string theorists today are saying that if we were to pluck one of these vibrating superstrings, it would change mode and transform from, say, a quark to a neutrino. Pluck it again in a different way, and it becomes an electron. That would be true transformation. String theory aside, we already know from particle physics that with enough energy, we can get quarks to pop out of the quantum vacuum and generate new types of matter. And modern atomic physicists have proven that we can indeed turn lead into gold using particle accelerators. It's just not cost-effective the way that scientists are doing it today. Interestingly, the Hermetic initiates also say there is an ethereal substance that is the connecting link between the forms of vibratory energy known as matter on the one hand and energy or force on the other. They describe this ethereal substance as of extreme tenuity and elasticity, and it pervades universal space, serving as a medium of transmission of waves of vibratory energy. As a side note, Nikola Tesla used very similar wording in his essay on man's greatest achievement. He said, "Long ago, man recognized that all perceptible matter comes from a primary substance of a tenuity beyond all conception and filling all space." Makes one wonder if Tesla might have been one of the three initiates who authored the Kybalion in 1912. At any rate, they are clearly talking about the ether here, which we now know is not so much a physical medium, but rather the quantum vacuum or zero-point field. This vibrational level of the ether matches up with the level for these hyperdimensional strings. But the Hermeticists go further with the vibrational spectrum than do physicists. They push higher into the realms of mind and spirit. What is all this saying? How can we use this? Well, first, it is important to realize that the connecting point is the ether or the quantum vacuum. Mind and spirit are above that vibrational level, while matter is below. This puts superstrings or etheric energy in the middle. This is the transition point or mediator between what we typically call physical and non-physical. But it is really all the same essence, just different vibratory rates, with the so-called non-physical levels vibrating at such high rates that most of our detectors are not able to directly measure them yet. That's all. Metaphysically, however, we can interact with these energies. How do we influence etheric energy? Well, it's through the will, which we mentioned just a moment ago as the driving force behind the observer effect. And yes, will is a force. Will moves our mind, which directs our thoughts that then determine our actions and what we manifest. Mystery school teachings say that etheric energy is made of the essence of will. Whose will? Where does this will energy come from? Well, there are actually three layers to it. At the highest vibrational level is the will of divine source. We could say it is the will of God, but by using the word God here, we mean the ultimate source, which in Kabbalah is called Ein Sof, meaning infinite and without end. We could also call it the will of spirit, meaning our infinite eternal self. As the will of source flows into the universe, it then forms another layer, which we call the will of nature and the universe. This will keeps things flowing in the order established by the laws of nature. And finally, the third layer comes in as the will energy flows into our collective human will, which we call the will of humans. This third layer of the will of humans is its own layer because the spiritual teachings all tell us that humans were given the will to choose between good and evil. What does this mean? We've all heard the story in Genesis where Adam and Eve ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and then felt shame and were subsequently sent out of the garden. And usually, when we're told this story, it comes with the dogma of us having sinned and being punished by God because of it, leaving us with a burden of guilt and a sense of unworthiness. Kabbalah tells this story from a different perspective, or actually several different perspectives. One Kabbalistic version says that similar to how there was an initial shattering or symmetry breaking that kicked off the Big Bang, it was inevitable that humanity would go through its own shattering or breaking with the oneness of Source or Spirit. Because only by going through this process could we then have choice. And only by making choices and learning from the results and consequences of those choices do we grow in understanding and hopefully wisdom. So rather than this physical life being a punishment, it is a gift that grants us the opportunity to learn and grow by our own efforts and choices. And the whole notion of sin in Kabbalah is more about an accumulation of friction or karma that we create as we miss the mark. What's meant by missing the mark? Well, it comes back to our use of will, similar to how the shattering of the Big Bang broke up the unified superforce into separated force fields. So too did the shattering of humanity not only make us feel separate from each other and paradise, it also caused the will of humans to break away from the will of the divine. What this means is that the collective human will now tends to flow contrary to the divine will. And we established in other episodes that the will of nature and the will of spirit prefer to move in a clockwise flow, which is a flow that builds towards life and its progression. If the will of humans flows contrary to that, then it tends to flow counterclockwise. There's plenty of evidence in our human-made world to see how our collective trends flow more against nature, against divinity, and even unconsciously seem to prefer counterclockwise movements over clockwise. Just start paying attention to this and you will see for yourself. Now, if we imagine these three layers of etheric energy, two of them are flowing clockwise, while the third is flowing counterclockwise, what will that generate? How about friction, resistance, tension, wasted energy, and stress? And at a personal level, when we are trying to connect to the light flowing in from Source, it's kind of like an Indiana Jones obstacle course trying to get that light through to reach us here at this level. Or that we have to go through within our own mind in order to rise above the static of the collective mind and into the experience of oneness. Another way we could say this is that it blocks the light. And as a result, we might feel indecisive or pulled in different directions. Part of us wants this, another part of us wants that. What do we do? Our task is to freely choose by our own will to align with the higher wills, to align with the flow of nature, to align with the flow of divinity. And when we don't, that is when we miss the mark and this resistance accumulates in our energy field. But when we do, that is when we feel the most in the flow. We feel alive, full of joy, love, passion, and desire to serve our fellow humans. This brings us into a coherent state. And remember, if we want to influence the quantum realm, we must be in a coherent state. So influencing etheric energy, or learning to pluck the strings of creation, is really more about aligning our will with higher will, to come into that coherent and congruent state of being. When we do, things will flow and manifest for us like magic. This is a major key. The question now is, how do we do that? How do we know what that divine will even is, if it's so hard for us to reach it in our daily awareness? How do we discern between our ego's will, the collective will, and higher will? First, we need to know ourselves and get good at tuning in to when we feel that inner tension or resistance. Secondly, we can turn again to the ancient mystery teachings for guidance and support. Let's start by defining what good and evil really mean. In Kabbalah, the primordial will to good sits at the top of the tree of life. In other words, this is the divine will. It is the will to create goodness, the will to progress towards the full realization of divine potential. The vibration of this will is pure agape love, not the kind of love we humans typically think of, but the limitless force of creation that is the divine love flowing from source. That agape love is the master frequency we want to tune our instruments into. We want to let it fill us completely. This energy of love, the divine will, is always present, just waiting for us to open up and receive it. How do we open up to receive? We can start with meditation and quieting our lower mind. But more than that, we must also have enough faith that one, it's here, and two, that we are worthy of receiving it. If we doubt too much, lack faith, or feel unworthy, that is our lower mind kicking in again and blocking us from receiving. I find the best way to trust and have faith is to shift into the heart. Unfortunately, though, so many people have shut their hearts down due to past traumas and, you know, that we need to first heal in order to feel safe in that open heart space. And for those people, just know that there is always hope. Hope that things can get better, that we can heal, and that when we take steps in the direction of our healing, that is aligned with the divine will, because it is an act of self-love to pursue our healing. Then, as we move further, we must cultivate faith. Faith in ourselves and our worthiness. Faith in the divine presence and the goodness that is all around us. Faith in love. Faith is what opens the door. Then, in time, after enough direct experience of receiving that love, we move beyond faith into knowing and truly understanding. There's a great passage in the Gnostic Gospel of Philip that says, "Faith is receiving and love is giving. None can receive without faith, and none can give without love." When we believe, we are then capable of receiving. We give so that we may experience love. Whoever gives without love experiences nothing of importance. This brings us to a third key when it comes to aligning with the flow of divine will, and that is to give from divine love, without condition or attachment, to give in pure service. And by service here, we don't mean to give to others at the expense of ourselves, because that is not sustainable in the long run. When we are truly in service, we are flowing love and giving from love and nothing else. The only way to truly do that and not allow our ego to pollute the love is if we fill ourselves wholly and completely with that vibration of agape love. Meaning we serve ourselves first by filling our cup, and then from our overflow, we then give and serve to others. This service to self comes from having a spiritual practice as well as taking care of ourselves, actively pursuing our healing and improvement of our skills so that we can better serve others in the long run. And at the same time, we don't want to wait to be in service to others before we're 100% healed and in our own mastery. It doesn't work that way. As Philip said, we give so that we may experience love. By actively stepping into service to others, that love flows through us. And from this, we continue to grow and heal and become better able to serve at higher levels. This is what leads to mastery and wisdom. If we are players in a cosmic symphony, and if geometrically vibrating multidimensional strings are the instruments, which exist at the vibrational level of the ether or quantum vacuum, that is influenced by coherent will, then how do we become more masterful at playing these strings of creation? By aligning with divine will and filling ourselves with the vibration of agape love, When we embody the vibration of love, we also emanate the vibration of love. On the flip side, when we are full of doubt or judgment or negative vibration, then that is what we emanate. Empaths tend to be people who are more sensitive to feeling these vibrations that others emanate. And while they may sometimes feel like it's a curse to the person who's empathic, it is actually a gift that we can use when we also become more masterful at harnessing the principle of vibration. This relates to what is known in science as entrainment. Briefly, entrainment is the phenomenon of getting vibrating systems to vibrate together in sync. We humans have many frequencies we can vibrate at. Mastering the principle of vibration is about being able to set our vibration to the desired frequency at will, and then intentionally emanate this out to others to entrain them to that frequency. When we are coming from the frequency of agape love, that is when we are truly aligned with the highest divine will and in service to those we touch with this vibration. Those we touch still have to choose to let it in and receive it, but we are holding that possibility and invitation without any attachment or judgment for them to lift up to their own inner potential, to remember and embrace that they are love, that they are divine, eternal beings. That is service. And that is how we become virtuosos in our human ensemble of the cosmic orchestra of life. With this new level of awareness, our minds expand to greater knowledge of our multidimensionality and the potential that is within us. As the Hermeticists say, he who understands this principle of vibration has grasped the scepter of power. The power is indeed within our grasp. Even though string theory remains to be confirmed by experimental evidence, it is a particularly beautiful model. As physicist Michio Kaku writes, the universe is a symphony of strings, and the mind of God, which Einstein eloquently wrote about, is cosmic music resonating through hyperspace. Vibration determines everything in string theory. The challenge physicists now face is identifying the exact geometry of the extra dimensions. They have many candidate shapes that are allowed by the math, over 10 to the power 500 possibilities, which is such a huge number that we might as well say it's infinite. Each shape theoretically corresponding to its own universe with different sets of physical laws and tuning. Rather than saying there can be only one right answer, resulting in only one universe, namely ours, string theorists are now going even further by proposing that perhaps all of these possibilities exist somewhere in the multiverse. Join me again as we expand into the multiverse to explore what lies beyond our universe. I'm Dr. Teresa Bullard. Thank you for exploring the mysteries of the universe with me in this episode of Mystery Teachings.